Good morning, church. Buenos días. Awesome. Well, we're going to start a new sermon series on worship. So let's go to 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 10. This is what the Bible and the Word of God says. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baala in Judah to bring up there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Asa and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Asa reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Asa because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Asa. And to this day, that place is called Perez Asa. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. This is a very powerful passage that I want to share with you this morning. And we're going to be teaching and talking about radical worship. And I want to do it from the perspective of this passage and share some principles that we see here in this passage that will give us direction on how to worship God. So we know that God created us, and I've been sharing that we don't worship creation, we worship the Creator. And because God created us to worship him, the reality is that we are worship creatures. So we are meant and created to worship. So without revelation, without direction of the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, we will worship anything. This is why it's so easy for us to worship the moon, the stars, the animal, and everything. So if you travel around the world, you're going to see all these temples and deities and people worshiping their gods in their own way. And according to the Christian faith, we are worshiping the true God. But the reality is that when you go to these temples, we have a lot to learn from people who are worshiping around the world. One thing that you're going to notice when you go to Africa, Asia, and other places is that everything in those temples is about the God and the deity they are worshiping. And when we come to the Christian faith, in many, many places, not here at St. John, that's other churches, you're going to see that everything is about us. And that's the first challenge that we have, and we learned that in Genesis 3, because the actual sin that Adam and Eve committed, the first one, was about worship. In other words, the moment they shift their attention from God to themselves, that's when everything began to fall. So now we're going to learn today, you know, ways on how we are going to worship God according to the scriptures. When you go and you visit these places and you want to join them in worship, They are going to give you instructions on how to do it. You cannot just go and say, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this differently. No, you have to go through the process, and you have to be respectful and have reverence. And then you have to go through, and they will show you how to do it. So same thing here in the Church of God. We have to train our leaders in our churches and teach them and disciple them on how to worship the one true God. So now, the first thing I'm going to point out here for this passage is reverence. How David, he says that David has a reverent heart, and David understood worship, and he's known as the worshiper. And also in this reverence, what is connected to this reverence is the holiness of God, that God set us apart for us to worship him. And when we worship him, we're supposed to have worship and lead worship and be worship, but not on Sundays only. It's a lifestyle. So wherever you go, in the marketplace, in the school system, wherever you go, if you are working, if you are in the car, if you are traveling, wherever you go, you are worshiping. And you go through your life worshiping. Everything we do is worship, when the object of worship is not what we do, but God himself. Now, when Samuel confronted Saul, and he said, God hath taken the kingdom from you, he declared this word about David. He says, but now your kingdom will not endure. That's what he said to Saul. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. So God himself is saying that David is a man after his own heart. However, we know the whole story. We have the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we know that David, not only he worshiped God and he was awesome and he danced before the presence of the Lord, he was a mighty king and a mighty warrior, but he also was a murderer and an adulterer. And even in that, God is saying, he has my heart. So this is not about the sins that I commit. This is about my relationship with God and recognizing God in my life and surrendering my life to him. And when I worship him, all my sins are nothing, and everything is covered with the blood of Jesus. And when that happens, I bring myself into alignment with my God, and everything fades before the presence of the Lord. And this is very powerful, because sometimes when we hear that David was a man after his own heart, we think he was perfect. No, he was not. And this is important to clarify, that God is not seeking perfection. Now, when we see this understanding of worship and holiness, as a veterinarian doctor, my passion was surgery. And the beautiful thing about surgery is that before you perform surgery at any moment, first you have to follow all the process and scrub your fingers and wash your hands and put it up and all of this, and you are doing that without seeing anything. All these germs you cannot see. But if you violate the process of sanitizing and preparing yourself for surgery, someone will die. And even in that process, you can say, I'm not going to wash my hands, and you go into surgery, and then someone got an infection, and then it's a complication after surgery because you didn't do the things. And the principle here is that David's lack of understanding at the very beginning of this worshiping experience, and also irreverent act of holding the ark of the Lord because the oxen were stumbled, will teach us some things about this. First is, like in surgery, you cannot see the germs. Well, when you worship, you cannot see God. But the reality is that worship is beyond what we can see. We worship a God that we cannot see. So God, in his love and mercy, gave us directions on how to worship him. Now, David was excited, and he said, let's bring the ark of God, the presence of God. The ark represents the presence of God. He said, let's bring the presence of God to the city, and let's all worship him. And that was awesome, the desire to bring the Lord's presence to our life, to our household. However, There is a process for it. There is direction for it. How to worship God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How can we worship this God? Well, he gave us instructions. And then you have Uzzah, he was a priest, and he was helping because David decided to build a new cart to put the ark on it. First, he brought 30,000 people to worship God and do worship and perform all these dances from where the ark was to Jerusalem. But something happens, and the moment that God struck down Uzzah and died, the whole celebration stops. And David said, something is wrong. I need to stop. How can the presence of the Lord came to me? And he was angry at God. And then we're going to talk about it a little bit. But the first thing I learned here is this is not about numbers. He brought 30,000 people. It's not about numbers. Worship is a matter of the heart. It's not about how many people we have in worship. It's about the heart of the people in worship. And we're going to understand, because the first time I read this passage, I said, something is wrong here. Why God did this? And you have to keep reading and connecting the scriptures to see what actually happened in this passage. And you're going to see that first, David's lack of understanding, you see that lack of understanding when David decided to transport the ark in a new cart, using a new cart. And out of his heart, good intentions, he said, awesome, let's bring the ark, something new that no one has touched before, no, a cart that never used before, let's use a cart. He failed to understand that what the Bible says, and he has all the Torah and all these prophets around him, he didn't ask. You know what the Bible says, what the Torah said? It says that the ark can only be transported in the shoulder of the Levites, not in a new cart, in the shoulders of the Levites. So they have these long poles and these rings, they put the poles, and then they come and bring the ark and hold it and walk, holding and carrying the ark in their shoulders. But David didn't know that, at least didn't check that, so he used a cart, and because of that, Uzzah, who is a Levite, when the cart stumbled, he tried to hold it, and the holiness of God struck him down, and he died. Now, you are also going to see that even though David got angry, in reality, God was enforcing the Torah. This is what it says. Then they came to the threshing floor of Nacon. Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark, and the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Irreverent act. So being respectful, being reverent, understanding who God is as we worship him is key. What happens here is that when you go to number 4:15, this is what it says. Aaron and his son has finished covering the holy furnishing and all the holy articles. When the camp is ready to move, taking the ark, the Kohathites are to come to do the carrying. In other words, the Levites. But they must do what? They must not touch the holy things or they will die. So David, in his excitement, didn't check the instructions. And when that happens, this person dies. And even though David was angry, in reality, he was responsible for it. Why he was responsible? Because we as leaders, and we do this every week with Kyle, and we meet, and Steven, and the others, we have to come here as leaders. It's our responsibility to teach and disciple people how to worship God. That's our responsibility. And when we violate that, we're going to have problems. Now, today, people don't die physically, but today is the spirituality, what God is now aiming for. And it's important to understand that the Levites were, the assignment that the Levite had was to carry the ark, not to touch it. And because Uzzah was not a descendant of Aaron, he was operating outside of his assignment. And that happens in church every day. When God calls you to be a worship leader, but you decide to be something else, You're not going to have the same passion. You're not going to have the same, the same desire to do things. You're supposed to be worshiping God in the area that He called you. Now, there is also responsibility. Sometimes we have to do things because we are responsible. But the calling is to really operate under the purpose and the assignment that God gave us. And you only experience passion in life when you are doing what God called you to do. That's true success. That's true purpose when we do that. So this is the life lesson from David's story. David transported the ark in a new cart. Uzzah, well-intentioned effort to protect the ark, actually defiled the ark. And that's why judgment came. When that happened, David decided, I'm going to stop, and I'm going back to Jerusalem, and I'm going to learn how to do this. And next Sunday, we're going to keep going and see how David did this the second time, and the second time he did it well. Now, this is the first principle. Good intentions alone are not sufficient to bring the presence of God into worship. Which means that sometimes we can build a new church, a new sanctuary, a new guitar, and a new piano. That's not enough. This is not about stuff. This is about the presence of the Lord in us. And when we come to worship God, holiness is important. Holiness, we have to be humble and surrender. And before we position ourselves to minister to the people of God, we are called to be humble and ask for forgiveness and be humble and continue seeking God as we worship Him and lead others to worship. Holiness is a prerequisite for bringing God's presence into worship. So this is serious. When I come on Sundays, or you're coming on the band, or you're an usher, or you are serving, this is the act of worship. And not only we are called to see what is going on, we also need to discern the presence of the Lord in our midst and understand that this is serious business. And we are here worshiping a God that we cannot see, and the only way we can do this is if we make sure that our hearts are in the right place, then everything else is fine. Now, David understood that, and he said, oh, no, true worship is in alignment with the scriptures, in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And then we learn it, and the second time he did it right, and next Sunday we're going to talk about it. But the importance here is that God show us through this passage, this is not worshiping. We are not called to worship God according to our own desires and idea. I want a new card. I want to do this. I want to do that. We need to make sure that everything we're doing is according to the scriptures when we worship God. Now, one thing that David got right was joy. He was celebrating the presence of God. He was excited. God gave him great victory. Israel was free. He was exciting. And when we are worshiping God, we supposed to come here exciting about worshiping God. And Betsy was talking about it, the importance and the joy of worshiping God in a way that people see that we are actually believing what we are seeing and worshiping. So, you know, David has a joyful heart. And when we see David in this passage, he said that he was dancing before the Lord with all his might. Joy is bringing joy and dancing. So when you come here, you be you. If you want to dance, dance. You want to clap, clap. You want to raise your hands, raise your hand. You don't want to do it, don't do it. Make sure that your heart is with joy, that you are excited about being here. Just don't come through the motions and, okay, another Sunday. Come expecting that God is going to do something. He's going to move. He's going to show you something. He's going to prepare you for the week. Me, I like to dance, so I dance. You don't dance, fine. But whatever you do, pay your attention to Him. Forget about people around you. This is not about them. Worship is about who? God and God Himself. So here are the principles. Number one, worship the God of the Word with joy, regardless of your emotions. So if you don't feel like I'm tired today, especially the first service, I'm a night person. The first service, I'm sleepy, but I woke up myself. I woke myself up, and hey, you know what? Let's do this. And you show up with exciting, and you go through your emotions. Sometimes I'm tired. I don't want to worship, but I worship anyway. Why? Because this is not about my emotions. I either worship my emotions or worship God. especially when you are tired, especially when you have anger or situations and frustrations in your heart. Second principle, worship the God of the world regardless of your situation or possession. Some people only worship when things are going well, when things are cookies and cream. Everything is awesome. It's easy to worship like that, right? You know when it's hard to worship? When someone passes away, when someone dies, when you lose your job, when your spouse is sick, whatever happens, you still have to worship God in the midst of that. And say, I'm going to worship God regardless of my situation, but also regardless of my possessions. Some people only worship when they have everything. And then they lose something, and now their God becomes what my lack, what I lost. Now I'm worshiping what I lost, complaining all day, talking about it. And, you know, and then, before you know it, you shifted your attention from God to your lack. God is your provider. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He owns everything. He can restore anything you lose. But you have to decide, I'm going to worship my stuff, or I'm going to worship God in all times, at all times, worship him. So that's what the Bible says in Galatians 5. Worship God in spirit and in truth. But when you invite the Holy Spirit to the church stops being a group of people and becomes the church of Christ. And when that happens, all these gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all that comes when you are worshiping God, not only here in the church, but also at home, in the car, wherever you are. We can work really hard every day, bring and pick the best songs. If we are not worshiping the Spirit, all these fruits will not flow from us. Regardless of the situation, regardless of what is happening, you can still give fruits like this. Only when we worship in spirit and in truth. Then we have self-control. Regardless of what is happening, now you have the strength to control your emotions and channel your emotions in a healthy way. And when we do that, that's powerful. People receive it, whatever you have to say, when you are able to manage your emotion. You are not 5 years old. You're not five. Sometimes you are 50. And we still need to handle our emotions. We need to grow spiritually so we are able to do that, but also walk in love, joy, peace, and patience. Now, the second part of this, or the third part of this, is humility. And humility comes from this word humus, which means dirt. In other words, we have to lower ourselves in order to worship God. And when God created Adam from the dirt, he used dirt because the symbol of dirt is life. Dirt is the only thing that you can put seeds in it and give life. That's why he didn't use gold or other stuff. He used dirt. Number one, to say to us, you have to be humble. And if you are humble, I'm going to breathe into you and you're going to come to life. Now, there is this story about this high schooler, graduated now, Mike Caprice, that happens last month in Campbell High School, Kentucky. He was the student selected to give the speech to all the graduates, and he decided, I'm going to give praise to Jesus because I received Jesus as Lord and Savior when I was 8. I have an experience with Jesus, and I want everyone to know that I'm not smart, that God is smarter than me, and he's my God. So he wrote his speech, and he was instructed to remove any religious connotation from the speech. But him, being 15 years old, and most of the time they don't listen, he decided, I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to praise God, not only in the church, I'm going to praise it right here, right now. So when he went to the stage, he did his speech, and he glorified Jesus and challenged everyone in the room. And he said, if you are lost, you need Jesus. If you are sick, you need Jesus. He's the answer. He walked away from the podium, and the school board came and said, now we're not going to give you your diploma because of what you did. So then He had to meet with the board and go through all these hoops and conversations and the media and all of that. And he got the diploma a week later because he decided, I'm going to worship Jesus wherever I am. There is a price to pay when you actually want to worship Jesus, right? God wants us to be humble and sometimes knowing that God is powerful enough to free me from any situation, but sometimes you have to obey. And as we worship and go around the world, showing that we love a God, that God is so loving and powerful that he can save me. And sometimes that there is a cost with that. Now, when I see this, I don't know how many of you know the difference between a horse and a donkey. I'm a vet doctor, so I love it because it's very important. Jesus, when Jesus went to Jerusalem, he decided, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And people were worshiping Jesus and Hosanna in the highest. And he decided to ride what? A donkey, not a horse. Okay, if you go to Kingland and you go to all these places and you see the horses, how marvelous they are and how powerful they are. And there is nothing harder than trying to ride a wild horse. Try to ride a wild horse and see what happens. Okay? And even when you break the horse, you break it, you break the wheel, and you domesticate a little bit so you can ride it, it's a lot of work. Okay? But Jesus decided, you know what? I'm going to ride a donkey. A donkey is a symbol of humility. The donkey, when you ride a donkey, you say, donkey, let's go left. You know what donkey says? Left. Donkey, let's go right. You know what donkey does? Right. And Jesus can sit and relax. Most of us, we are not donkeys. God is calling us to be what? Donkeys. Let Jesus sit in your life and let him ride you and see left and right. No, we are like horses. We start. And we don't stop until we throw Jesus out of our backs. That's what we do. And now, if you know, do you know the difference between a mule and a donkey? Hello? Okay, so mules are aggressive. Why? Because you cross a donkey with a horse, guess what? You have that aggressiveness. And you have, it's really, they are unfriendly. But donkeys are friendly. And God wants us to be humble, be friendly. Let Jesus come in and flow through us. I believe that Jesus was able to reach Jerusalem because he used a donkey. If he used a horse, like us, sometimes he was still waiting to go to Jerusalem. Because we oppose him. We stop things. We are not humble enough. And God wants us to be humble and surrender ourselves before the Lord in worship. So David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he learned something is wrong. When he saw that, he said, something is wrong. And my hope is that when we're worshiping God, even if we have all the elements in place, my hope is that when we're worshiping God, if you're not seeing his presence in an evidence of his presence, that we stop everything and say, let's go back in prayer. What is going on? What is happening? Do we need to forgive anyone? Do we need to ask for forgiveness? What we need to do? Do we need to change something? Let's go back and seek direction from the Lord because we want his presence. Do you want the presence of God in this church? If we do, then we need to seek the presence of the Lord and position our hearts, have a reverent heart, have a humble heart. Come here with joy, and that will bring his presence. And this question is a discipleship question. How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? So if you don't have the presence of the Lord in your household, that's the question. How can I bring the presence of the Lord to me, to my household, to my child, to my daughter, to my spouses, to myself, to the marketplace, to my work, wherever you go? Now, David was angry, but that anger that David had really revealed that he needed to continue seeking God to understand what happened. Have you ever been angry with God? It's okay to be angry with God. He gave you the emotions. The problem is when you go angry, 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 and you don't stop to listen what God has to say to you. Because sometimes we don't understand. The moment you are able to understand God, whoever says to me, I understand God, then God is not God anymore. Now he's an idol. There is no way that I can fit God in my little mind. So when I see things and I'm angry, I have to spend time with God and open my heart and come to his presence and ask him what's happening, what I'm not seeing. And the moment I start understanding and he begins to walk with me and show us, then the anger little by little goes away. And David experienced that. So this requires humility. We need to understand that God is sovereign. He is God, and we need to depend on him. And as we do that, God will show us his will. His will. This is the call to action. I want you to reflect in 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 10, 1 to 11, and then next Sunday we're going to continue the conversation. First question, how does the story of Asa and David experience with the ark of the Lord challenge your perception of worship? Now that you know that and all this story is very powerful, so how that change your perception of worship? Question number two, in what ways have you encountered moments of irreverence in your own worship practices? And how can you address these areas and cultivate a spirit of reverence in your worship? And that's only you and the Spirit, you in this, and God in the sacred place. God, I want to be reverent. Show me what I've been irreverent so I can correct it. And let me come to your house with this spirit of humility to worship you. Reflect on a time when you may have acted out of good intentions but lack understanding of God's instruction. How can you ensure that your worship aligns with God's revealed word? We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time with the word. We need to ask God to show us how and when and how to worship. Set aside dedicated time for personal time with God. Spend time in his presence, engage in corporate, in reverence with God. Not only on your own, but also come here to worship God. Regardless if it's summer or fall, you come and you worship, and you make worship a priority. And then use music, art, and other creative expressions to worship God in spirit and in truth. We all have many, many gifts. Use your gifts, painting, drawing, dancing, whatever it is. Let it come alive before the presence of the Lord because he's the one who gave it to you. Let's close with this quote from C.S. Lewis. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3. Amen. So let's make God and Jesus himself the object of our worship. And he opens the table to all of us and to his children and to the children of the living God to come and experience the grace of God through the table. Can you stand, please?